So by way of summary and what we did last week, we talked about the fullness of the Christian life. We talked about what the Father has for us. We talked about the life changing us and others in our cities and towns through the renewing of our minds. And I don't know about you, but I know that my mind needs to be renewed. And I think the scariest thing that I said last week is that we get to be with the Lord and he sticks that USB type thing in our ear, plugs it into some IMAX cinema screen in heaven, and it gives access to everybody who's there what you were thinking on your time on earth. Would you want anybody to see that? I'll be honest, I don't want anybody to see that. No, my thinking. And if you're anything like me, I'm sure you feel the same. That's why we need God to change our minds. We need him to change our thinking or to change the way we think. Where we can be transformed with new patterns of thinking and allowing God to remold our minds from within. So today, I want us to think more along the lines of expanding our thinking. Because I believe that we can expand our thinking. There are some things in Scripture that seems to suggest that our minds were made for more than what we currently use them for. They have a larger capacity. We know that by science. We only use something like 12% of the capacity of our brain. So what about the other 88%? Obviously it's doing something, but a lot of it just seems to be sitting dormant. We could be using a whole lot more. But when it comes to our thinking, let's not limit it to what it was before we knew Christ, and let's access what it is now that we know him. So there is a massive, massive difference. If you have a Bible, the screen writing is incredibly small. We're going to read Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read the whole thing. And there's a reason for that. We'll become clear, I hope. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a really quite instructive passage. And at the beginning, it talks to us about how we need to be renewed in our thinking, that our minds have to be transformed. And so, in that, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It's your spiritual act of worship. Then it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if you have a Bible, they're very loud today, aren't they? If you could turn, stick a finger in Romans 12, and then go to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, it's talking about what people are like before they know Christ, or people who have rejected Christ. And in verse 28, it says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. So before you knew Christ, before you knew Jesus, you had a depraved mind, or a debased mind, it says in some translations. You had a depraved mind. So when people don't know Christ, their minds are depraved. They don't think the way that they were originally designed to think. Every one of us was exactly the same, because we're made in his image. So before we know him, we don't think in accordance with the way that he's designed us to think. Therefore, we need to think different. And this, when, if you read the book of Romans, right? Now this is challenging, because Romans is a difficult book to read. But if you're going to read Romans, and you want to get the most out of the book of Romans, here's my advice. You might hate me for it, but this is what I would suggest. Read the whole book in one sitting. It's a letter. Paul wrote it as a letter to the church in Rome. And what would have happened was this. Someone would have stood and read the entire letter from start to finish in front of a crowd of people, however many was there. Everyone didn't have a copy. No one had a dictaphone or their iPhone or anything to record it. They listened. Because everything was communicated orally. And what happened was, someone stood, read this letter from start to finish. Was it 16 chapters? And we're thinking, oh, John, 16 chapters. You get your favourite John Grisham or Patricia Cornwell book, or whatever it is you like to read, Lord of the Rings, anything like that. And you'll sit and you'll read and you'll read and you'll read to your heart's content. For hours on end. Oh, sheer bliss. So where's the challenge in reading Romans? Now, put the highlighters away, put the pens away, put the 7 different translations of the Bible, put them away. Just get one. Don't try and analyse the text. Don't try and understand the meaning of what it is you've just read. Just read it. Engage your mind as you're reading it, obviously, but don't get caught up in, oh, what is the meaning? What is the significance of this? Read it. Start at the beginning, chapter 1, right through to the end. And you'll start to see, maybe not the first time, but you'll start to see how it starts to fall into place. So when Paul is writing in chapter 1 of Romans about how people have a depraved mind, what he goes through, he starts to address at different points through the rest of the letter. And so when it comes to chapter 12, he's starting to address this issue about thinking different. You don't have a depraved mind anymore. Therefore, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's changed. And that's what he's talking about. He's making a direct comparison and a direct contrast with what your mind was like before you knew him as to what it is now. Your mind was depraved before, it's no longer depraved. Give your mind over to Christ fully. Start to take control of what's going on in your mind about your thoughts. Because your thought life is important. Because part of what you think leads to part of who you are. So therefore, your thought life needs to change. Your thought life changes from before you knew Christ to now that you know him. There's a difference. And so, just on the title of our series for the next few weeks, Think Different. It's time to think different. One of the things I always pray is that God would change the way that I think. He would increase the capacity of my mind for things of the kingdom. I said that last week. Because the capacity of your mind is largely untapped and unused. And God wants to use that. It'll help you, but it will also help the other people that you're going to engage with. So, it says in verse 1, do you know, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And I know that we looked at that last week, and I just wanted to clarify a wee bit here where it says, do you know, that logical, that rational worship is the service that a rational being created in God's image with a mind renewed by the Spirit can offer. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he means. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Because living sacrifice is an oxymoron, isn't it? You sacrifice something that's dead. But a living sacrifice. And so you have to present yourself sacrificially before the Lord, give everything to him, but you're still living. That's what you have to do. And then he's talking about the service that a rational being, you, created in God's image, with a mind renewed by the Spirit, can offer. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the difference? You are a rational being. You don't have a depraved mind anymore. You're created in his image. He doesn't make mistakes. And you have a mind renewed by the Spirit. You connect all that. You get that working in proper order. You imagine what you've got to offer. He knew that. We're still trying to suss that out. He knows. That's why he picked you. That's why he chose you. And when he made you, he knew that's what you were like in his eyes. But you're just not like that in your own. But as soon as we start to think different, we start to see things different, don't we? So, the whole thing behind the transformed mind, it's about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the person who brings about the transformed mind, or a mind that has been renewed by the Holy Spirit. But that is the goal here, to be able to think different. And the renewed mind moves in two different directions. And we'll go through the two of them. So on the one hand, we have the action of the Holy Spirit in transforming us. And like it says here, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So we no longer live in conformity to the present age, which is now. Because we've been delivered by the death and resurrection of Christ. We've been set free from that. And the reason for that transformation is for conformation into the likeness of Christ. So we've to conform not to the pattern of this age, but we've to conform to the pattern that Christ has set aside for us. So we no longer live in conformity to the present age. And here's a word. This is a scary word, and a lot of time Christians try and steer away for using words like this. It's kind of like if you cook, making a roux. Do you know who knows how to make a roux? Fairly straightforward. No. A roux is the basis for a white sauce. And so to be able to make a white sauce, you need a roux. And you're like, what are you talking about, John? If you're going to make a bechamel sauce, which is the white sauce that's in a lasagna, you need to be able to make a roux. Okay? And a roux is made with flour, butter, and milk. Some of you know this, surely. I mean, it's not just me. This is not a secret. Some of you are great cooks. But when it comes to simple things like that, a lot of people are frightened. So one of the biggest things that when people come to cook is they're fearful. Just follow the recipe, do what it says, and it'll work. As soon as you start replacing different ingredients, and then you say, oh, it didn't turn out like Jamie Oliver said, is it any wonder? Don't blame Jamie Oliver, who put the different ingredients in. Right? And sometimes, as Christians, we get scared of certain things. And so here's a word that I'm going to use, and I'm going to explain what it means. But we're an eschatological people, and you're like, oh. Right? But we are. Why are we frightened of that? It's just a word. It's not a scary one. And it simply means this. We are people who live between, there's the present age and there's the future age. There's, do you know, Jesus has come, but he's coming again. And so we live in between that he's been and he's still to come. Is that difficult? Right. And so there's a tension though, isn't there? There's a tension between that which has been and that which is still to come. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, give us this day our daily bread, which is a really bad translation, and it should really say, give us tomorrow's bread today. So we want some of that which is to happen in the future to come into the present. And that's the tension that we live in. That's all that word means. It literally means the last things, but there's a tension between living between the present and that which is still to come. And that's where we live. That's the type of people we are, because that's what we live in. And we've experienced the first fruits of the future. The Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus died, he says, I will not abandon you. I won't leave you. I will send a helper to be with you, who's the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit is here now. And so we have experienced part of the future, the presence of the future. So some of the future has become present. Try and figure that out. And so we stand against the present age that is in the process of passing away. But we have something to look forward to, that we will enter into that new age. And we're not talking about the weird new age. We're talking about the new age of the kingdom. And so what's the process? What's the point of all this changing our minds and thinking different? Behavioural modification. Our behaviour becomes modified. Not because we're behaving ourselves and, oh, I'm going to stop doing that, and just because you think it's the right thing to do. The behaviour modification comes through the Holy Spirit, and we start to change the way that we live. It comes as a direct result of a radically renewed mind. You don't want to have that depraved, debased mind. Excuse me. We don't want to have that. That's what we had. Now we have something different. Because when Jesus enters into your life, he doesn't just change a part of you. He changes everything, which includes your mind, your thought life. Everything is changed. Because the creator of the universe now inhabits who you are. That's really good news. And if nothing else puts a smile on your face, that really should. And that's what brings the change in our lives. It's a totally new way of viewing everything, brought about by the Holy Spirit. And Paul in Romans is calling us to live in keeping with our new existence in Christ. We have new existence. It's not what it used to be. It's what it now is. This is great. Our minds have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we are now equipped to discern what God's will is. But the more we journey this, the more we live this, the better we get at testing and proving what God's will is. We get better at it as we move on, because we grow, we develop, we mature, and our minds are continually being renewed. And as we allow that to happen, that's what we should be looking for. That's what we should expect. What is the good, pleasing, and perfect will that God has for us? Because that's what we've to do, because we bear his likeness. And the more that our thinking is transformed, the more that we become like him, the more then we're able to understand what that is. Because we need to be more like him. That's the whole aim of this thing. And then the second direction that we go in is a mind that's renewed by the Spirit becomes the key to all the community relationships that we will be urged to have. That's why we read the whole passage of Romans chapter 12. Because it's full of imperatives, isn't it? I mean, it's really full of imperatives. And we're not going to go into that, but it's probably a wee indicator of where we're going over the next few weeks. And it's about how we live our lives out in community. That's why our minds need to be renewed. And Paul goes on to talk about, and sometimes there's a wee heading in your Bible. That isn't the original, but it's there. And then it starts in verse 9, love must be sincere. That's the first thing it says. And then the first of the imperatives that it gives after that says, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. There's two. And then it just goes on there, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. And it goes on and it tells us these things, and these are the things that we are called to do. But then verse 3 comes into play. which is really, really good. And it says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." So we've just had our minds renewed. We're in the process of starting to think different. And now and only now can we start to test and approve what God's will is. But only and as long as we have the Holy Spirit. And so, arrogance is it. Because on the one hand, we can never know God's mind at all. Whereas on the other hand, we can, but only by the Spirit's help. And so in verse 3, a renewed mind is not an arrogant mind, but a sensible one. And so it starts to talk about the whole thing of living out in community. But verse 3, at that point, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. So this is related to the renewed thinking that we've just looked at in verse 2. But what does it mean? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And it's a wordplay. Paul uses a wordplay here. Because the same word is used 4 times in that one passage, but you don't translate it that way in English, and so therefore we have to translate it as something different. But it literally means not to have a mindset that overestimates one's own importance, but a mindset that has a sensible self-estimation. Not to have a mindset that overestimates one's own importance, but a mindset that has a sensible self-estimation. Bear in mind who it is that's doing this stuff. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And we have a passive part to play where He brings about this change, but we also have an active part to play in it where we need to be pursuing Him, that He will continue to bring about that change in our lives. And we need to be at a point where we don't overestimate our own importance. We don't put ourselves down either. But we have a mindset, because our mind has been transformed, that we start to have a sensible, a logical self-estimation. We're children of God. He's the boss. He's the one that brings about the change. And if we are able then to get in tune with what His good, pleasing and perfect will is for our lives, then He's the one that's in control, and we follow what it is that He has called us to do. It's about Him. It's not about us. We've not to think beyond, but we've to think wisely and sensibly. And that can only truly happen when we start to think different, when we start to allow the Holy Spirit to impact our thought life. And sometimes it's difficult. We kind of used the analogy last week. You can't stop the birds flying over, but you can stop them nesting. So you're always going to have thoughts. Do you know, you're always going to have strange things going through your head if you're anything like me. And you have these thoughts going on. But then, how long do you entertain them? Do you allow them to land? It's time to shoo them away. And that sometimes happens. But then even worse, than we sometimes let them nest, don't we? And that's when it becomes bad. Because if you've ever had birds around about your house, as soon as they start nesting, it's difficult to get rid of them, isn't it? As lovely as they are, they're God's creatures, and I still kill spiders, do you know, just putting that in there. But they're birds. But you think about your thought life. Do you want them in? Because once you let them in, they're a whole lot harder to get at. You can't stop them flying over, but you can stop them nesting. And to stop them nesting, you need to take action. You need to take action. And until you do that, you're not going to start to think different. So, I looked up another verse that's in relation to this. I hope I have this. I don't. If you have a Bible, Ephesians 4:23. This could be fun. It might not be, but it could be. I don't think everybody here uses the same translation, which is great. Because, well, let's not use the NIV at this stage, even though you might have the NIV. So the New Revised Standard Version says, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Okay? The New Living Translation says, instead let the spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. The English Standard Version, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind. The New Jerusalem Bible, your mind was to be renewed in spirit. And you're like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Wait a minute. I thought your spirit was something and your mind was something else. Anybody else think that? It's just me. No one's ever thought that before, that your spirit and your mind are completely different things. They are, aren't they? Yeah. Okay. So understand then. So you look, if you have a cross-reference Bible and you're reading Romans 12, 1 and 2, there's a wee cross-reference to Ephesians 4:23. And so you look at it and you're thinking, oh, be renewed in the spirit of your minds? What does that even mean? But if you have the NIV, it says something completely different. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Attitude, spirit, no even remotely close. But that is probably the meaning of what it's trying to say, that it's trying to get across here. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about us. But the thing that's important is that we do it in agreement and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So, be made new in the attitude of your mind. That's what it is to start to think different. Let the attitude of your mind, let the attitude of your thinking change. Start to take control of that. Do you know, we talked about the way you think and how sometimes we make judgments just like that. And they might never ever come out. No one else might ever know what they are. But were they right? Probably not. And we know that is, do you know, so how many times do you think that you're out in the street or you're doing whatever you do and other people are making judgments about you? They never ever come out, but they're making those judgments. And they're no right either. And it, do you know, Jesus is a wise fella. Just in case you didn't know that. And he says, with the same measure that you are judged, that you judge, you will be judged. And so the way that you're thinking about other people and making them judgments about them, please don't be surprised, but the other people are doing that about you all the time. We need to change that. That has an impact on your mind. It has an impact on your thinking, and we need to see that changed. When it talks about, do you know, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it's talking about our spirit, the interior life of the human person in your mind. Because here's the thing, and we all know this, the architect of the renewal of our lives is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that designed who you are. He's the one that constructed who you are, and he's the one that is continually moulding and shaping who you are. And one of the things that he's trying to do in your life is take you from the depraved, debased thinking that you had in the past to bring you to think different, to have a renewed mind. And I think that as we do that, the world is our oyster. Because if your mind is completely renewed, imagine what that opens up to us. Imagine the change that that affects in your life. Imagine how that impacts how you engage with other people. Can you imagine the God-given strategies to reach our communities rather than our made ones? Because man-made strategies and God-given strategies are totally different. And for us to be able to discover what his will is, our minds need to be renewed, don't they? We need to learn to think different. I don't think this is going to happen by Tuesday. Or even Wednesday. But I think it needs to happen. Now, we've accepted Christ. If you've accepted Christ, you're well on the road, which is wonderful. But none of us have arrived. So therefore, none of us have got this sorted. But I want to get on the journey again as soon as possible. I want my thinking to be renewed every day. I want my thinking to be in alignment with his thinking. Because here's the thing. I don't know if I just came up with this myself. I would love to think that I have, but there's been so many billions of people who have been before us. I'm sure somebody came up with it before. But you know that passage in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and he will tell us incomprehensible things. Do you know what the incomprehensible is? You can't comprehend that. But God's going to tell us incomprehensible things. How on earth are we ever going to be able to understand the incomprehensible with a depraved and debased mind? So I have to do this. So incomprehensible. You can't comprehend that. What does it mean? But it also means this. This is good. It means something that cannot have limits put on it. Not just limitless, but limitless so much so that it's just beyond that. Limits cannot be put on this. It's incomprehensibleness. I want to know what that is. I want to encounter the, because it says, call to me and I will tell you incomprehensible things. God doesn't tell lies. I want my thinking completely renewed, so then I can be sitting and God starts telling me incomprehensible things. I'm like, Einstein, you don't have a look in. Can you imagine God starts to tell you the secrets of the universe? Whoa. Because he thinks you're great. He loves you. He designed you. And he says, I mean, he tells you, call to me. Call to me. So that means we call to him. And then it does say after, and I will tell you incomprehensible things. So he wants to tell you them. But how do we get to the point where he tells us them? Because he promised that he'll tell us them. And I will tell. I will means that he'll do it. He will do it. Like, I want. Call to me and I'll think about telling you incomprehensible things. No. Call to me and I will. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the place with the Lord and he unlocks that incomprehensibleness? For to get even remotely close to that, I think we need to start to think different. The attitude of our mind needs to change. You know, the negativity that the world is caught up in and we get caught up in, that needs to go. God is not a God of negativity. Change the attitude of your thinking, the attitude of your mind. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Let's start to think in new ways. Change the way you think. Who wants to change the way you think? I do. I really want to change the way that I think. I want to think in accordance with his will. That's the point. That's the aim, and Paul tells us that we've to do that. And you're thinking, oh, John, this Christian lark, poof, there's a lot of things to do. Seems like it. But if we keep in tune with him, it will fall into place. But we need to give him his place that it can fall into place. I want to start to think different. I want you to start to think different. Because when we start to think different and we live that out in community, I think it makes a massive change to the community of which we are part. Because you imagine the incomprehensible that he communicates to us and how then we can reach and engage much better with our environment.